Amen. Thank you, Armando, for leading us this morning. Yeah, we can applaud for Armando. If you guys have your Bibles this morning, let's turn together. We're going to look at Ephesians chapter 4. And here in middle school, we've been learning together from this short little book in the New Testament. In the second half of the Bible, this short six chapters called Ephesians. And it's been a great chance for us to look at what it really means to be a Christian, what it means to be somebody who's saved by Christ from our sins and from the judgment that sin brings. We've learned all about that, about salvation, especially in the beginning of this book. And now we're in the second part of this book, which talks about what your life now looks like since you've been saved by Christ, since you've become a Christian, if you're walking with Christ. And as we turn there this morning, as we look at Ephesians 4, I wanted to ask if any of you have pets. How many of you guys have pets? Raise your hand if you're a dog person. You have a dog. Okay, there's quite a bit of you guys, so that's awesome. How about cat people? Yeah, not very many cat people. I'm sad that Joe's not here. He's a big cat person. How about fish people? Does anybody have an aquarium like fish? Okay, there's a few of you guys. Yeah. If you're a fish person, you're my kind of person. Growing up, that was the only pet that I was allowed to have. So I had to settle for having like an aquarium full of fish. And I've had fish a bunch of different times in life. When I was in college, I had a pet fish. His name was Boomer, and he was just on my desk in a little bowl. But even back in elementary school, I had all types of fish. And I was thinking about some stories of having fish the other day. I remember at one point, my family moved houses. We were living in this old house, and we were going to move right down the street. And so basically what happened is that my dad took all of my fish that were still alive, and he said, "We're not taking these to the new house." And my dad flushed all of my fish alive down the drain. I know that's a really sad story. There were lots of tears. It was pretty traumatic for me in like second grade. But yeah, sad story for you. But here's another one that I was thinking about, another story of having fish, having that aquarium. I once had these fish that are called swordfish, and they have a little tail. It was like a tail that was kind of like shaped like a sword. And I thought these fish were so cool. I'd just gotten them from the store, and a couple days later, I came home, and I looked in the fish tank, and I realized that the swordfish were gone. I couldn't find them anywhere. As I kind of looked around the aquarium, I looked everywhere, like kind of behind the plants, and I didn't see those swordfish. And it turned out that a few of those swordfish had actually jumped out of the water, out of the aquarium, and they landed on the ground, and they were there on the ground, dead. I know, I'm just full of bad stories about fish this morning. Eventually, I figured out that for some reason they would jump out, and sometimes I was even able to go up and save the fish and put it back in the water where it belonged in order to keep that fish alive. But I tell you that kind of weird story this morning just to get us thinking about a really simple fact, that fish need water. Fish belong in an aquarium. They belong in the ocean. They belong in water. And if they try to get out of that water, things go bad really fast. Fish belong in water. And there's lots of things that we could think of like that. Like fish need water. Plants need light. They have to have light. Middle schoolers need sugar. They have to have sugar. Fish need water. But that's what I want to encourage you to think about this morning, especially when it comes to Christians, about how much Christians need the church in our life. We belong in the church. We need God's people around us. We need to be in fellowship in a church. And that's what we've been starting to see here in Ephesians chapter 4 as we've studied it together. Paul's been telling us about how important the church is for your life if you're a Christian. He's been explaining that the church is this one body. It's one group of people. And if you've become a Christian, you are part of the church. It's not optional. You've been joined into this family. Back in chapter 2, verse 19, he's called the church the household of God. You're like God's family. You're part of God's family. Paul's been telling us that if you're saved, you're part of the church. We don't try to join a church in order to be saved. That's not what he's saying. But he's saying, because you've already been saved by faith in Jesus, then you become part of this church. And we know that the church is not just a building. It's not some room with lots of chairs and like a big cross on the wall and an organ. We're not talking about that kind of church. We're talking about this family, this group of people that God calls Christians to be part of. It's made up of everyone who's a true Christian joined together by God. And if you're a Christian, you need those other Christians in your life. It's where you belong. It's what you need to be a part of and connected to closely. You need to be growing and connected and in fellowship with that church that God's made you a part of. Christians belong in the church, closely surrounded by Christians. And there's a lot of great reasons for that. There's reasons that God wants us to be in that family, in this body called the church. And that's what we find here in Ephesians chapter 4 this morning. Why do we need the church if we're Christians? Why do believers in Jesus belong in, and why do they need the church? What are the blessings for you in your life, if you're a Christian, to be involved and connected with God's family, other Christians in the church? Our big idea is that, to see that God's design is for Christians to be part of his church. God's design is for Christians to be part of his church. And we'll find this out. We can see this clearly as God's made it clear for us here in chapter 4 of this letter. Let's read from Ephesians chapter 4, and we can start in verse 11 this morning. It says, "And the Lord gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love." God here is making it clear for us to know, if we're believers in him, that he's given us an incredible gift, an incredible blessing for your life as you walk as a Christian, as you grow and work out what it means to be saved by Christ. And God's plan for you, if you are a believer in Christ, is to be connected and involved in and closely tied to a church, to his church. And we find out why as we read through those verses that we just looked at. And I think there's one reason that we could start with. It's reason number one, that we need the church. It's because it's the place to be built up in the Bible. If you're a Christian, you need the church because it's where you will be built up in the Bible. And you might even see that pretty clearly right there in verse 11 and verse 12. We talked about this a little bit last time too. Verse 11 says that Christ gave certain people to the church. It says apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers. And those positions of apostles and prophets, those were just for the beginning of the church. They were certain men that God used to start the church after Jesus ascended up into heaven. He used those men to help write the Bible. And once the Bible was finished, their job was done. But verse 11 also tells us about evangelists and shepherds and teachers. And those are responsibilities that still exist today. They're roles that are still around in the church today. And those roles, those leaders are there to help guide the church, to help guide Christians to grow strong. We see why and kind of what their role is to do. It's in verse 12. They are to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. That's telling us that these men, these pastors and teachers, even these older Christians are in your life to help you grow up, to help you grow and be equipped and be all that you need to be as a Christian. The Bible tells us how those pastors can do that, how they can help set you up as a Christian to serve the Lord and to be all that God wants you to be, how you can be equipped as a Christian. It tells us in Acts that pastors are devoted to preaching the Bible and to praying. They minister God's word and they pray for God's people. And that's the role of pastors in our lives as Christians. We know how important it is to have good food. It's important for us to be healthy, to feel good, to grow strong, and at least I hope you know how important it is to eat good food. But every once in a while, you guys know that it's kind of fun to eat like really just bad food for you, like total junk food. I saw this at camp. Some of the guys had like a big bag of like chips that they were downing, just gross stuff, candy, more chips. Then one guy walked in with like the biggest milkshake I've ever seen in my entire life, cookies and cream. And he downed that whole milkshake faster than I've ever seen. It was awesome. Junk food can be fun, but we know that we need more than just junk food. We need real good food in our life if we want to be healthy, if we want to grow strong and grow up and feel good in this life. And God knows that His Word plays that kind of role in your life as a Christian. And He's given specific leaders in a church to help you have His Word in your life to help make you healthy. He's given you pastors and teachers who preach God's word, who give you the truth to help you grow strong and be healthy and be ready to live in a way that pleases God, to help you know how God wants you to live. And this is telling us here why you, if you're a believer in Jesus, you need your church. You need the Bible in your life all the time. You need it week in and week out. You need it every Sunday. You need people who can help you understand what God's word means in your own life. And how amazing that God's given us a gift in the church to be able to know the Bible better. We need the Bible so much. There's a psalm, Psalm 19, that talks about this. It tells us some of what the Bible does to make us healthy in our souls, to make us to make us growing strong in our hearts. It tells us that God's word revives the soul. It says it makes wise people who aren't wise. It brings joy to our hearts. It helps us to rejoice. It tells us it gives insight for living life. The Bible endures forever. It also says that the Bible is more desirable than gold, and it's sweeter than honey. And in keeping what it tells us, there is great reward. God wants you to have that in your life. He wants you to have the Bible in your life as a Christian, and he does that through giving you a church where the Bible is so important. We need pastors and we need teachers in our life to help us know the Bible, that can give time to study it and to help us understand what it says. And we need it in our life week in and week out. We need the Bible to help us know what's true and what's not true in our life. We need the Bible to help call us out when we're doing something that is not pleasing to God. We need the Bible to help show us what's right and to help correct us. We need the Bible to show us where our hope is in this world. We need the Bible to show us to Jesus Christ, who can save us from our sins. And he is the only way that that can happen. He is the way and the truth and the life. And the Bible shows us to him. We need a church to help build us up as Christians. And that happens through pastors who show us to the Bible, and older believers in your life who show you to the Bible to help make you a strong and healthy Christian. God wants you to know these blessings, and here we see that reason number one. But there's another reason we could look at here, why we need the church. And it's even more that the church is also the place where we can serve one another. Verse 12 says this, a place to serve one another. If you look there at verse 12, it's been telling us about pastors and teachers, these people who equip and help all the church. And they do that, like we said, through helping the church to understand the Bible and be made healthy through knowing what it says. But then verse 12, we kind of also find out the goal of that Bible being brought into your life as a Christian. It says it's for equipping, and it's equipping saints to do the work of ministry. That word for saints talks about everyone who's a Christian. If you're a true believer in Jesus, you're a saint. You're somebody who's set apart for Jesus, to live for him. And God's word saying here, if you're a saint, if you're a Christian, you're somebody who should be doing the work of service. You should be doing ministry. I think that sometimes we think, or sometimes some people think, that they just pay their pastor to do ministry. They come and they sit and listen to the Bible and they learn a lot about the Bible, but it's only the people that maybe work at a church or a pastor, that's the person who's really going to be doing ministry and serving the Lord and doing works as a Christian. But that's not what the Bible is telling us at all. It's saying that if you're a Christian, if you've been saved by Christ, you're somebody who does ministry and somebody who serves the church. You serve others, and you get to be used by God. That should be showing up in your life if you're a Christian, that you serve the Lord. You love to honor the Lord with whatever opportunity you can. If you're a Christian, you're saved for those kind of works. And we find that out back in chapter 2 in Ephesians 2:10. It says that we are, Christians are, his workmanship. And we were created in Christ Jesus for good works. If you're a Christian, you've been saved to serve the Lord. I think that's a really good thing for us to make sure we know, that all of that Bible knowledge that you hear and that you start to get to know better and better as you grow as a Christian, isn't just meant to like make you really smart and really good at trivia. Like, I know a ton about the Bible. The Bible's meant to change the way you live. God saved you to not just know a lot, but to serve him and to work out what Christ has already done saving you. That should show up in your life. If you got an amazing new gift for your birthday, let's say you got a brand new PS5. What's the first thing, if you're a big gamer, you would do with a brand new PlayStation? Yeah, you open it, right? You get that thing out of the box as fast as you possibly can. You get it plugged in. You get signed in on your account, and you have the controllers ready to go. You are gaming like right away. But what would happen if you got that brand new PS5, a gift from your grandma, and you just decided to leave it in the wrapping? You just decided to keep that box all sealed up. You're not going to use it at all. In fact, you're just going to put it on the shelf in your room, and it's going to get dusty, and you'll never use it at all. What a waste that would be. What a waste that would be. You know, God saves you as a gift, not just to sit around and to learn a bunch about the Bible. He saves you as a gift to be changed and transformed and to have a life that's filled with fruits serving him, filled with love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. He saves you to have a life that shows up in doing good works that help others and that glorify him and that show the world that I've been saved by Christ. Good works that don't save me, but that show that I have been saved. And the place for you to do that, for that to show up, is in a church. It's for you to live out your faith as a Christian, to have a life that's filled with good works in the family of God, in the church. God wants you to be a part of a church where you respond to what he's done saving you and to work out what you learn in the Bible, showing up in loving one another and caring for one another and doing good deeds that help others. What does that look like for you in middle school if you're a believer in Christ? I think there's some really obvious ways we might think of. There's serving at VBS last week. I saw a bunch of you serving there. That's a great way for you to serve if you're a Christian, if you've trusted in Christ. Maybe it's you serving in the nursery or you helping set up on Wednesdays. Maybe it's you asking your parents how you could help them serve in the church. Maybe it's just a small way, like picking up trash or helping tear down a room and putting some chairs away. Maybe it's just something really simple for you right now, and it'll only grow as you walk with him longer and you see what God does in your life. But God wants us to know for you to be a Christian is not for you to just be one person who's off by themselves and just knows a lot of facts and just knows a lot about the Bible. He wants you to be transformed and to be in fellowship with other Christians, serving them and ultimately serving him. And that's why we need the church in our lives, to be serving the Lord. But there's also one other reason I think we see in these last few verses, one last big reason. We've seen it's a place to be built up in the Bible. It's the church is a place to serve one another. And last, we also see the church is a place to grow up. It's a place to grow up as a Christian. Verses 13 through all the way through 16 talk about this process of growing up as a Christian. And we kind of discover there like a big picture why God wants us as Christians to be connected to and belonging to a church. And he's saying this is the place where you can grow if you're a Christian. This is where you can grow. God wants your life to be growing as you follow him. And we see that especially in verse 15. There are those few words there where he says, rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up. We are to grow up. In small group on Wednesdays, my group was talking about siblings who maybe you've had an older sibling who's told you, grow up. You need to grow up. Or maybe you said that to your annoying little brother. He's a little annoying. Grow up. Grow up. Well, that's what God's saying to us here. He's saying grow up, but he's saying it in a really nice way. It's not in like a mean sibling way. God's telling you, grow up if you've been saved by me. And the place that growing up happens, all these verses are showing us, is in a church. And your walk with Jesus and your life as a Christian, you should be growing and changing and in a process of becoming more like Jesus. And if we kind of look through these verses, not with all the details, but we see what growing up as a Christian looks like. It says there in verse 13 that growing up involves attaining to the unity of the faith. That's just another way to say you know more about the faith that you have. You know more about the truth and the Bible, the doctrine that you believe as a Christian. You have a better understanding of what's true, of your faith, and you're growing in that in a church. God wants us to be knowing our faith better and better when we're in the church. He wants us to know our faith. Growing up also looks like having the knowledge of Christ, he says there right after that. Knowing Jesus better and better. Attaining to the knowledge of the Son of God, verse 13 says. And that happens only when we're involved in a church, doesn't it? That goes back to what he said about having pastors in your life and having the Bible in your life every Sunday and throughout the week. We need to know about Jesus better, and that's how we can grow, and that only can happen in a church. And then growing then also looks like verse 13 says, becoming a mature person, growing to mature manhood, growing to become a mature, more godly person, somebody who is more mature, somebody who's filled with more likeness to Jesus. It tells us that maturity at the end of verse 13 looks like the fullness of Christ. If we want to know what it looks like to be mature, it's looking to Jesus, to look to Jesus's perfect love, his perfect humility, his perfect example, and looking at that and saying, that's who I need to grow to be more like. And that can only happen when we're connected to a church, when we're growing in a church. And then verses 14 and 15 and 16 tell us that this Christian life growing up is also involves being surrounded by truth and love. Verse 15 talks about that. It says that we speak the truth in love. That means you're no longer around all of these lies and all of these things that aren't true in your life. You've been saved from that, and you've been placed in a church where you can hear the truth, and where you can have love in your life. I think about growing up in a church. I know that's probably most of you growing up, even when you're a younger kid, having so much truth and so much love in your life from your church. You've had Sunday school teachers. You've had VBS leaders. You've had people on Wednesday nights. You've had people on Sunday mornings. You've had people in your life that you've known your whole life who want you to know the truth, and they want you to know it because they love you. If you're in a church, you get to experience truth and you get to experience love. And God wants that to continue and to help you grow into being a stronger Christian. I think this is so encouraging if you're a believer in Jesus, because you're part of a church. God's placed you in a church in order to be able to grow. He gives you a family here, even in this church, to grow, to be stronger in likeness to him, in the knowledge of him, to have a place where love and truth are shown to you, to have a place where you can understand more about him. If you don't know Christ, if you're not a Christian, you need to know today that you're not part of this family, that you're missing out on all of these amazing, incredible blessings that God's showing us here in these verses. You're missing out on the truth in your life. You're missing out on the joy of being together with other Christians and getting to serve the Lord. You're missing out on having God's word changing your life, saving you from a life of sin and bringing you into life following him. If you don't know Christ, you need to join in his family. You need to become a Christian and trust in Christ and be saved from your sins. And you need to be placed into his family, not through doing works, but through believing in him. The gospel tells us that if we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we will be saved. And we can know the joy of being part of a church. All these verses are just telling us that it's God's design for you, if you're a Christian, that you're part of his church and that you're not just on the side, but that you're deeply connected, involved, and benefiting from and enjoying all the blessings of being in a church. I wonder if you think of church that way. Do you just think of it as a place that you come and it's fun to see your friends and it's fun to go to the vending machine? All good things. Again, all good things. But is that it for you? Or is it a place where you can be changed, where you can grow up as a Christian, where you can be built up in the Bible, where you can serve others? God wants us to know that's the purpose of the church in your life as a Christian. Let's pray. Dear God, we come to you and worship you for the gift of salvation that's available to us in Christ. Thank you that there's no work that we can or have to do. There's nothing that we can do to save ourselves, but it's all through your work that you did on our behalf, coming and dying on the cross in our place. We thank you for the good news of the gospel, Lord. And we thank you for bringing us into a church where we don't have to be on our own and wander in lies and in confusion, but that you show us to the truth and help us to grow up into the person you want us to be. I pray that for each student here in this room and ask for your blessing on the rest of our morning here at church. We praise you, Lord, in Christ's name. Amen. Would you guys stand up?